loves us, and He loves me and you. Now the question is, do we love Him back?
Amen.
Amen. Seriously. Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And that's the key. We know He loves us. Question is, well, do we love Him back, and will we love Him back? All right, brethren, look here. Take your Bibles tonight. I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. And I want you to really pay attention tonight and let the Lord do something for us. And very interesting text of Scripture here. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Proverbs 24, verse 27, the Bible says this: prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Father, thank you for your word. Guide us, direct us, and help us tonight. Guide us in all truth, wisdom, and understanding. Lord, give us what we need and help us to be receptive. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. We know that. Lord, help us to love you back for loving us first. This we ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Let's break it down and let's look first at the first part of that verse. Notice the Bible says, prepare thy work without. Now that word without in the dictionary simply means out, outside, out of doors. Instead of inside, it means outside. So prepare thy work without. In other words, do the work outside first. Then it says, and the word prepare, you know, we know what that means. The dictionary means to make ready. Look at the next part. Prepare thy work without. And then it says, and make it fit for thyself in the field. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field. The word fit in the dictionary means to adapt, to suit, to make suitable. And then it says, and afterwards build thine house. So, brethren, what this verse speaks to us about is doing all the preparatory work first in the field, and then building your house. And there's some good stuff I believe the Lord's got for us concerning the temple that we're going to see, and some applications we can make tonight about this. Prepare thy work without. Do the work out in the field, for make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. Listen to me. Listen to me good, folks. Please listen to me good tonight. This speaks of preparation and planning, of doing the necessary leg and groundwork ahead of time, and then building your house. Do the necessary preparatory work, and then you won't have a mess later on. Just some practical examples first. In business, Luke, you got to do the prep work? Amen. Even Sonic, man. You got to come in and do the prep work. If you don't, you'll be in a mess, correct? Yes, sir, sure will be. And folks, that's in most things. Usually there's some preparatory work that's got to be done. And if you don't do that, if you try to play catch up, or if you try to go ahead and make it work in the middle of things, you're going to have a mess. In a marriage, do the preparatory work. In a marriage, a young man needs to be able to care for a wife. A young man needs to be able to, before he can start thinking about marriage, he needs to be able to support her. I didn't say lavishly. But he ought to be able to provide food and raiment for her. They'd be able to provide for her. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you wait, marriage and young'uns is like this. If you wait till you're perfectly ready, you'll never do neither one. Now seriously. A man ought to be able to provide food and raiment like the Bible says. But then it ought to be a matter of, hey, I love you, I want to be with you, let's make this thing go together and we'll grow together in it. Amen. Well, let me tell you this too, guys, look here. A man ought to be prepared to provide for his wife, but he ought to be ready to provide for her emotionally also. You understand me? Gentlemen, our sons need to realize that there's more to getting married than just putting food on the table, clothes on her back, in the bedroom. That's all a big part of it. But look here, she needs care, and she needs comfort, and she needs, seriously. And you got to be able to, you need to be ready to provide that. Listen, too many men get married, watch this. I provide. She got food. She got clothes.
man, I give her money. She goes out and does, but you know what, guys, she wants more than that. Not only you guys know that, just remind you, and our sons need to know that. Woman needs more than that. She needs care and attention and listening to and talking to, you know. And we're not good at that, fellas. We're not good at that. For the most part, we're probably just not good at that. And we got to learn to be good at that. We got to ask God to help us to be good at it and just develop that kind of thing. But caring means more than just, you know, providing. That's the important part. But you got to provide emotional ways too. Now let me say this. Ladies, you need to be prepared. You need to teach your daughters to be prepared to be good keepers at home, to keep house. To take and... Listen, I know we got a mess today. We've got confusion. We've got confusion. And you see it all around us. But that Bible, you know, that Bible will never go out of date. It can't. It can't. Man's problems are the same since the time man sinned in the garden. God's decrees are eternal. That book's eternal. It's never going to go out of date. It's always going to be right at it. Right? And nothing changes. And we've got a mess today because everything God does in truth, the devil wants to turn up on its head. And we've got a mess today, brethren. I'm going to tell you what. God made a man to be a leader. At the minimum, a leader of his home. You know what's happening today? The devil wants to destroy the leadership capabilities of men to where they don't lead, to where they won't lead, to where they don't understand, and they give it over. And it's confusion. It's confusion, brethren. And so, and he tries to get women to be, to take on an authority that God hasn't given them. That's just what the Bible says. We're not talking about a heavy-handed thumb. We are talking about a divine order that God has set up. Goodness, man, there's got to be communication in a marriage. There's got to be... Ladies, let me explain something to you. Ladies, you will not be accountable to God for how you ran your home, your family. Your husband will. You'll be accountable for how you submitted to his leadership. Now again, if that leadership goes against the book, you got to go with God, of course. But I'm telling you, look here. If he ain't crossing the book, you better take and follow that. Fellas, we'll be accountable not for how we submitted to our wives, but how we led our homes. Seriously. And listen, it's a thing of give and go, and you talk and you get. But guys, look here. Understand, you've got to make the final decision because it's going to rest on your head and God's going to hold you accountable. Hey, fellas, look here. You know what? The Lord, when God came to Abraham and Sarah, the Bible says God told Abraham, now the man was getting close to 100 and Sarah was in her 90s. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you a child. And she laughed. The Bible says she laughed and said within herself, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being older? Yeah, she said that within herself. Nobody heard her but her and the Lord. So she did it within herself. You know what the Lord did? He turned to Abraham and said, why did Sarah laugh? He said, wherefore did Sarah laugh? I have felt so sorry for him at times. You imagine Abraham. Why did the Lord do that? Because he's accountable. And he addressed Abraham. Now Sarah spoke up and said, I didn't laugh. The Lord said, yeah, you didn't. Man, tell the Lord I didn't do something. The Lord knows good. Well, you know. But that's us, you know. I mean, that's us. Amen. You know. Okay, so I'm telling you, there are things we need to be prepared for, we need to be ready for. Now, but here's the main thing I want to look at tonight. The main thing. Remember our text. Prepare thy work without, make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. With that in mind, go to 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings 6. Now watch this. Watch this. Good. Stay with me tonight. Stay with me. 1 Kings 6, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. And the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof, according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights. And against the wall of the house he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle, and he made chambers round about. The nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For without in the wall of the house he made narrowed rests round about. that the beams should not be fastened in the walls of the house. Now look at verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, now watch this, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. Did you get that? Remember our text tonight. Prepare thy work without. Make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. That's what they did with the temple. Notice it says it was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. So these stones were made ready. They were made to fit before they were brought in. In other words, you didn't bring those stones in and try to make them fit in. If the right work was done in the field, they would fit in when brought in. The stones were not to be brought in and hammered and hacked on to get them to fit in. The work is supposed to be done in the field. Look at 1 Kings 5. Verse 17. 1 Kings 5, 17. 1 Kings 5, 17. Look what the Bible says here. It says, and the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them and the stone squares, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. So the stones were to be hewed and squared in the field. The word hew in the dictionary means to cut with an axe, to form or shape with an edged instrument, and to square something is to adjust it, to regulate it, to mold it, to shape it. Everything was to be done on that without and then brought in. And then once you brought it in, everything then would fit in, and everything would fit according to its relation to the foundation stone, the cornerstone. All other stones are set in reference to that foundation stone. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you fit in? Do you fit in? What's happening, brethren, today? I'm going to tell you what's happening today. What's happening today is because the proper work isn't getting done in the field. People are coming into church unsaved. And what's happening is, instead of seeing the need of regeneration and being born again, they're getting hacked on, hammered on, cut on, and trying to made to fit. Because they don't fit in.
It's good. It's good.
Do you fit in? Brethren, listen to me. The believer should be able to fit in with all other believers. When somebody comes, when somebody says, I just don't fit in. Why? Why? There's a reason. And too often people come in and they realize, I don't fit in. And so they try to take and mold themselves. They try to take by their own effort and adjust and do and fit in, but it's not there. When the work's done in the field, they come in and they fit. You understand me, brethren? Please, please get it. It's what's happening all over the place. I believe that with all my heart. People say, church, I just never fit in. There's a reason. I'll say this. If it's a Bible-believing church, if it's a church that truth is propagated in, and you don't fit in, there's a reason. Now, if it's a worldly church, if it's a worldly church and you fit in, well, what that's saying is that that's what you are. But if it's a Bible-believing work, and it's like, you know, I just don't fit in. I just don't fit in around... You know, I don't know. They can talk about the Bible and things. I just don't fit in. There's a reason. There's a reason. The work is supposed to be done in the field, and then you come in. See, they went to that stone quarry, and they got them stones, and they worked on them out there. And then they brought them in, and nobody had to take any hammer, any iron tool. Nobody had to take it, hack it, hammer it, make it fit. They fit. Prepare thy work without. Make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. You fit in? Do you fit in? Are you having to work at fitting in? Please, please, be honest with yourself tonight. Whether you're here or listening on the tape, are you having to work at fitting in church or among other believers? Do you have to work at it? Now be careful before you say, well, you know, nobody just likes me. Hold tight, man, hold tight. That might not be the thing. Well, I'm just a... Hold on. Hold on. Stop a minute. Pause a minute. Could it be you have to work at getting at fitting in because the proper work's never been done on you to start with in the field? You don't have a right relationship with that foundation stone. Everything fits. See, seriously, the foundation stone means that's the stone that everyone else is referenced to. That everything is measured by that foundation stone. Man, if you don't square up, if you don't fit in relation to that foundation stone, you're not going to fit in. Take your Bible. Go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 2, talking about Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 20. Or verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So see, Christ was the cornerstone. Everything fits in relation to Him. Next were the apostles and prophets. And then their converts, and their converts, and their converts, and their converts, and their converts, up to us. Just a continuous line, all in relation to that foundation stone of Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't fit in, it's because you've not got a right relationship to that foundation stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to get out this, and you've got to get that rectified. Because it ain't going to work otherwise. You can come in and try to hack and hammer and adjust yourself. That's not how it's done. See, it's you doing the work because the work's not been done in your life. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and all and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. And He is He not? You that are saved, if you're saved, Jesus Christ is precious to you. There's none more precious. He's everything. All the loves in your life cannot compare to Him. You get along with Him and you have to admit, Lord, you're all. You're everything. Every love pales in comparison to Him. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Unto also they were appointed. Jesus Christ said, listen, He's that stone, and He said, whosoever shall fall on that stone would be broken. There came a day in my life that I fell on that stone and got broken. But he said, on whomsoever that stone shall fall, it'll grind him to powder. Now you're going to get broke one way or the other. It's better you get broken by you falling on Christ and receiving Him rather than having Him fall on you to your destruction. Listen, do you fit in? Are you having to work at fitting in? Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Hebrews 13 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach." Listen, I'll ask you again, do you fit in? Are you having to work at fitting in? If so, then go out to the field. Go out to the cross and get yourself into a right relationship with the Son of God. Get oriented right with Him and then you'll fit in with all the brethren. He's the chief cornerstone. Quit trying to be chief and number one and your way. Give up. You aren't the standard Christ is. Align yourself with Him. Prepare thy work without. Make it fit for thyself in the field. Christ suffered without the gate. Man, listen, if you don't fit in, you need to go back out to Calvary. You need to go outside the camp. You need to go out to the field. You need to go out there to that cross and find yourself at the foot of it and accept what Christ did on your behalf. And if you get matters taken care of that, you'll fit in with every saint everywhere. You'll meet the saints somewhere and it's just like, boom, it's there. You'll find no matter where they're from, it's like, ah, it's just there. It's just like, it's there. It's just there. Without it, that ain't happening. And you'll get frustrated and you'll chip on yourself and you'll hammer yourself. You'll take a tool of iron and an axe and you'll hack on yourself and you'll just, and you'll always be trying by self-effort to fit in. But if you were honest, you'd have to admit, it just ain't there. You have to admit, it's all you trying rather than it's just there. Because the proper work wasn't done in the field. And you've never oriented yourself correctly to Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 42. I quoted it a while ago, let's read it here. Matthew 21 verse 42, Jesus saith unto him, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Again, brethren, better that you fall to the Lord and be broken and receive Him, than Him follow you to your utter destruction. Let me ask you this tonight, brethren. If you are saved, if you are here and you are saved, let me ask you this. Are we doing our work in the field? Prepare thy work without. Make it fit for thyself in the field. Afterward, build thine house. Are we doing our work in the field? Go to Hosea 6. Hosea 6. Hosea 6 and verse 5. Now what? Listen, when they went to that stone quarry, what did they do? They hewed them and they squared them. Not in the temple, out in the field. They hewed them. They squared them. Hosea 6 verse 5, "Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are the light that goeth forth." Take a look here, brethren. You know what? You need to let yourself, listen, folks, we need to take the Word of God, the preaching, the teaching, the things that God gives us that line up with the book, and we need to take and use those things and do that hewing work out there. Take your Bible, go to Jeremiah 23. Out in the field, out in that quarry, is where you went and hewed them and hammered on them and did the work that needed to be done. Jeremiah 23, look at verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. Folks, there's some hammering that needs to be done, but needs to be done out there. We need to take the Word of God. We need to use the law lawfully. We need to take the Word of God and let this world see the holy standard that God has established that they can't meet, and thus see their need of a Savior. I told those fellows last night, I said last night at the juvenile center, I said, boys, I said, guys, listen. I said, fellas, look here, Ten Commandments are wonderful, need to be in every room, every building. I said, they're perfect, wonderful, you need to strive for them, but you'll go to hell if you're trusting the kid. If you're trying to keep them to get to heaven, you go to hell by them. I said, the Ten Commandments can't save you. They can't do it. I said, God gave those commandments to show you what you are. As we've said so many times here, the law of God, and especially those commandments, are a mirror. A mirror shows you that your face is dirty and your hair is messed up, whatever. But don't comb your hair, brush your teeth, or wash your face. The law of God, if a man's honest, shows him what he is. God, the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We've all done that. We've all had other gods. The biggest god in every man's life is his own self. We have all lived for ourselves rather than God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Most of us have been guilty of that. I've never said GD in my life, preacher, but you've done it other ways. Other ways. Jesus. Good. Honor thy father and thy mother. There's nobody in this room that has always honored their father and their mother perfectly, right, correctly, all the time. Never. But we're done. We're sunk. We've not kept those commands. We've not. And so, well, you say, well, Brother Austin, if we're all sunk, God will just have to, He'll just have to get in. He'll never do it. He won't do it. You ever do that for a lot of times you want people to do it. I'm going to tell you something, brother. God ain't like man. You understand me? Lord said, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are your thoughts. You ever heard those? And this has happened before. A lot of times kids in school, like especially their seniors or toward the end of the school year, they'll say, it's all skip. What are they going to do? They will submit us all. And you know what happens? Most of the time, did you know they're right? They don't. God would. God will. Seriously, brother, He's holy. Well, now God wouldn't let everybody go to... Oh, yeah, He would. Oh, yes, He would. He's holy, brother. He's holy. I thought God's love. He is. But He's holy. His essence is holiness. In heaven, those seraphim cry out constantly. They don't cry out, loving, 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 though God is loving. They don't cry, gracious, 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 though He is gracious. They don't cry, long-suffering, 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 though He is long-suffering. They cry out, holy, holy. Holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. He's holy. He will not compromise. But I tell you what He did. God said, I set up the standard. Man, you can't meet it. Let me throw this one at you. When God set it up, He knew man couldn't meet it. And He knew that if it had to be made right, He would have to do it. And that He was willing to do. I can't get over it. Makes me fall on my bed sometimes, and I just take a little time to tell Him how wonderful He is. I just have to take that time just to tell Him, Lord, Your ways are so far beyond my ways. You're so magnificent. You're so wonderful. Your ways are so far above me, Lord, and that You would do that. He set up that standard. We can't meet it. We haven't met it. So He became flesh 2,000 years ago and met that standard on my behalf. Right. Do you realize nobody can throw a charge against God? I mean, nobody could anyway. But I mean, nobody could anyway because He's God. But even more so, who's going to say to Him, I mean, you set it up and you knew man. But I made it right in myself. I made it. I did the work. I died for you. I made my move. Next move's yours. You understand me? I'm telling you, Lord can sit right up there and say, oh no! I made my move 2,000 years ago. I proved my love. We sang it tonight. Next move's yours. You'll never stand before. You won't stand before God and say, you didn't love me. Yeah, here, folks. It's love beyond comprehension.
Right, right.
His love's never in question. Mine, huh? He loved us enough to give His Son. Will we love Him enough to accept what His Son did on our behalf? I hope the Lord most of you have. If you haven't, will you? God made it all right in Himself. He set up the standard. Man can't meet it, but God met it Himself. He sent His Son who lived a sinless, perfect life. Without sin. Totally without sin. How do you know that? He resurrected. That's a fact. 500 people saw Him after He rose from the dead. Christ resurrected. That proves He is who He said He was. There was no sin in Him. His blood made full atonement. The resurrection proves it. Christ fulfilled that standard. He did the work. His blood made full payment. Now all I have to do is be willing to admit what I am, turn from myself, turn to God, and accept that payment His Son made on my behalf. Why would I not do that? Why would I not do that? The only reasons can be pride, or I love my own life, I love my sin, I love the way I'm, and I don't want to give it up. And so I'll grasp at all kinds of straws that will give me some false hope, saying, well, it's not all true anyway, it's really a lie, and we don't really know that, and it's just a book, it's just the words of men, and whatever, so I can keep living the way I want to live, and even though that idea of facing a Creator's back there, even though that idea of accountability's back there, even though that idea of punishment's back there, I'll just suppress it, and I'll just surround myself with things like millions of years and evolution, and we're not sure, and the Bible can't be perfect, it's just the words of men, and I'll just salve my conscience with that. It's still there, but I'll salve my conscience until it's too late. Folks, man, don't you understand? The Bible says it. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's not that people can't grasp the cross. It's not that they can't understand salvation. It's they want to hang on to their own life, to their sin. They want to go their way. Right. The Bible says, all we like sheep have turned astray. We all have gone astray. We have turned everyone to His own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the right, the iniquity of us all. Brother, the night I got saved, that's what I told God. I knew I lived for me. All about me. It wasn't about God, it was about me. And that night I turned. And I turned to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He made me a new creature. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. He's done the same thing for you. And if you're not, He can do that for you. He can. Listen, His Word's like a hammer. And we need to take that hammer of the Word of God and use it to break the hard hearts of men. Take that hammer. A hammer, man. Woo, a hammer. I mean, look, show them first. Listen. Break them with the hammer. And then heal them with the love of Christ. Take that hammer and break that heart and show them, look, you really think you're good enough. All right? Here's the standard of God. Can you meet that? And if they're honest, there's no way. Well, if you can't meet the standard and God's not compromising, then you need a Savior. And God provided one 2,000 years ago. God made His move. Next move's ours. All right, let's take your Bible real quick. Go to Isaiah 10. Isaiah 10. Folks, you've got to find out where somebody's at. When you find out where they're at, if they think they're good enough, okay. Well, ask them, have you kept God's commands? Find out where they're at and show them. Have you sinned? Have you ever? Then show them. Wages of sin is death. Show them. I mean, brethren, we've got to take that book and do that work out in the field. Look here, Isaiah 10, verse 15. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood? Look here, what a foolish thing, huh? For an axe to say, ha ha ha, look at the job I'm doing. Get out of here. It's a tool. That axe could do nothing were it not in the hand of one using it. Look here, God can and will and desires to use you and me, which is marvelous. But it ain't you, and it ain't me, buddy. All you are is a tool willing to be put in God's hands. He's the one. You better not touch that glory. Listen, God takes His hand off, you're done. He'll show what you can do. Can you imagine an axe saying, ha ha, I did a good job today, didn't I? Don't pick him up. Move, axe. Go ahead, big boy, move. If the axe could talk, really tell him, move, cut, axe. Come on, you son, go. Oh, I can't. Oh, come on, sharp guy. Come on, sharp guy, move. He ain't doing it. He's nothing outside of the hand of the one that hews with him. Man, you get lifted up. Lord lets you know real quick. Oh, sharp fella. You're going to do it now, huh? Well, shows without him, we're nothing, brethren. We're nothing. It's all of him. But brethren, we need to be willing to be the hammer, the axe used in God's hand to do that work out on the field and help men to see what they are and get them right in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they'll never fit in until they establish a right relationship with Him. The cornerstone, the foundation stone. Brethren, go out to the field. Take the Word of God and let the Lord use you to hew the stones to fit to the Lord Jesus. Show them the standard. Show them Christ Jesus. Go back now to 1 Kings 6. I want to show you this. Watch this. Have to do a little bit of reading, but it's so wonderful here. There's just some good things about this temple here in the building of it. Now those stones, look at verse 7, 1 Kings 6, verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor tool of any iron heard in the house while it was in building. The door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber, and out of the middle into the third. So he built the house and finished it, now watch this, and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. And then he built chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timber of cedar. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou would walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. And he built the walls of the house within, now watch this, with boards of cedar. Both the floor of the house and the walls of the ceiling, and he covered them on the inside with wood, and covered the floor of the house with planks of fir. And he built 20 cubits on the sides of the house, both the floor and the walls with boards of cedar. He even built them for it within, even for the oracle, even for the most holy place. And the house that is the temple before it was 40 cubits long. Now look at verse 18. And the cedar of the house, watch this, was carved with knops and open flowers, all was cedar. There was no stone seen. So those stones, you made them fit out in the field. You brought them in. Everything fit in relation to the cornerstone. But once you brought them in, you didn't see the stones. They were covered with cedar. Brethren, those stones were hidden by the cedar. You couldn't see the stones because of the cedar. Take your Bible, go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. You got them stones, you got the work done. Then you brought it in. But once it was done and brought in, you couldn't see them though. They were covered by something. They were hid by something. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. There you go. See, if you're saved, see, those stones were brought in, but you never seen them. You saw that cedar wood. You saw that cedar wood. And that they hid those. That cedar wood hid those stones that you couldn't see. Brethren, that's where you and I ought to be. Folks ought to not be seeing you and me. They ought to be seeing Jesus. Let me tell you something about cedar wood. Some cedar is red. Some cedar's red.
Good.
Definitely a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God sees. We're covered by the blood of Christ. Men need to see Christ, not you and I. Cedar is resistant to rot, weather, and decay. Do you know what the Bible says? Well, take your Bible. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He's talking about Jesus. How the Christ went to hell and nothing there could hold him. Verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Did you get that, brethren? Christ's flesh saw no corruption. No corruption. He rose from the grave and his flesh saw no corruption down in the grave. But let me tell you something. If you're in him, you're safe and you're secure. Brethren, that cedar wood, it's resistant to rot, to weather, and decay. Brethren, those that are in Christ are also safe from corruption. You're secure. Brethren, the storms of this life may pound you and pound you, but you're secure. You're safe. And you will weather the storm. Oh, you might have some stuff in this flesh, but I'm telling you, you're sealed. Your soul is secure in Christ. You'll weather the storm. Listen, you're rot resistant. You're decay resistant. You're sealed. It's as good as done. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. Look at this thing. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ. Now how are we established? In Christ. And hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. If you're in Christ, you're safe. You're secure. You're established. You're sealed. You're sealed. Go to 1 Peter 1 very quickly. I know we're looking at a lot of Scripture, but we must look at these different things. If you can't get them all down, just write them down. Go back and look at them. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls. How do you purify your soul? In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See, brother, look here. You purify your soul when you obey the truth through the Spirit. God deals with you. You're obedient. You get born again and you love the brethren. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All right? So that cedar wood, brethren, it can be a redwood. It's resistant to rot, weather, and decay. It's also resistant to insects and moths. It's resistant to insects and moths. You know the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, cedar wood, moths and insects don't like it. But you know what? It's fragrant. Listen to me. That, you can see them stones or hear that cedar. That's a picture of Christ, no doubt. But cedar wood's fragrant. Has a good smell to it. It really does. But insects don't like it. And moths don't like it. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 2. And look at verse 14. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Don't you see? To moths and insects, to devils in the world, the child of God is the savor of death unto death. But to the Lord and to other saved folks, we are And those who desire to be saved were the savor of life unto life. Don't you see, brethren? Cedar wood. Smells good to us. Moths and insects don't like it. Brethren, devils don't like Christ and those that are in Christ. This world don't love Christ and those that are in Christ. But fellow saints and those who want to be saved, we're a sweet smell to them. We're a sweet smell to them. Just like that cedar. Just like that cedar. And then finally, go back to 1 Corinthians, 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings 6. Look at this final thing here. 1 Kings 6. Look at verse 18 again. And the cedar of the house was carved with knops and open flowers. All was cedar. There was no stone seen. Now, if you're saved, your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 19, and the oracle he prepared in the house within to set there the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length and 20 cubits in breadth and 20 cubits in the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold and so covered the altar which was of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold. And he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. And the whole house he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the house. Also the whole altar that was by the oracle he overlaid with gold. So then he covered it all with gold. You see, brethren, we're not complete yet. Right now, amen. Amen. Right now, you know where we are. I see what stage we're in. We're the stones that have been brought in, and we're covered by that cedar, but we're waiting on that gold. We're waiting on that gold. That finishes it out. That's done. That finishes it. That completes it. We're waiting on that goal. We're not complete yet. We still lack our glorified body. But the Lord's going to take care of that one day. And that thing will be finished out. Finished out. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, where are you? Now, if you're saved, I tell you where you're at. You're one in stones that got the right work done in the field and got things right at the cross. And you've come in and you're part of the body of Christ and you fit in. And your life is Him but Christ and God. Only thing you're waiting on now is that new body. That covered that gold, you know, that glorified part. That you're just waiting on that. But if not, if you don't fit in, if your life is not hid but Christ and God, you need to get out there at the foot of the cross. You need to go out of the field. You need to get to the foot of the cross and get rightly oriented to the Son of God. Look here, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. But some man will say, ain't nothing changes, amen. Have you ever heard the old phrase, there's one in the crowd. Somebody's going, I mean, they're always the same. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him. And to every seed His own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, which is Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. By the way, there's a little rule of thumb for you. Can you notice that in the Bible, the first is always the natural and the second the spiritual. The first is the false, the second one's true. First was Cain, then Abel. Esau, Jacob. All right? Saul, David. Antichrist will come on the scene, then Jesus Christ comes back. The Bible gives us that here. It says, look, it says, verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. There's a pattern of that in the Bible. Verse 48, and as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He just builds up to a crescendo. He says, don't you see? We've got a body awaiting us. We're going to be saved. If you die, you'll go in the ground, but you're coming up with a new body. And when the Lord comes back, they'll come out of the grave. We'll be changed. A glorified body. You've got that hope waiting on you. So don't give up. Don't despair. If you're saved, your labor for the Lord is not in vain. Now, I'm going to bust your bubble, and it's just the truth. If you're not saved, you're a squirrel in a cage spinning your wheels. Now, if I told you different, I'd be lying. There's no profit to your life. You're just going to be fertilizer someday, and that's about it for you, bud. No, I'm making a difference. No, you're not. Bless your heart, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to give you the hard, brutal facts, and if I didn't, I'd be a liar, and I'd be wrong to you. If you don't know God and are yielded to Him, you're spinning your wheels, and what you're doing will not last, will not satisfy you. Your body will go to the dust. That soul will spend an eternity in a lake of fire. And your life has been spent, wasted. Now listen, folks. There's just no two ways about it. Man, it's just the truth. The Bible says you were created to give pleasure to God. That's your purpose. You can't fulfill that purpose until you are restored to a right relationship to your Creator through His Son. Until that takes place, you're just going through the motions. And you're not happy. And the devil says, just a little bit, hang on. Just hold tight. The next thing will do it. You just need a change of scenery. You need to move someplace else. You need a new job. You need a new relationship. And listen, there's nothing wrong with jobs. There's nothing wrong with relationships as long as they're right. Those things are fine, but they can't gratify and satisfy. So you'll go for it, and it'll still leave you empty. It'll still leave you flat. And then finally, one day you'll realize life's getting short. What was it all for? What was it all for? What if I... What? What's up? Man. Brethren. Carl Sagan, man. If Carl Sagan could get out of hell right now, man, the message he'd give, he can't. And you realize that man realizes now that though his name is all over all kind of manuals and books and articles, and though the world lauded him, he now realizes it was all a farce, a lie, and a sham, and it's too late. The devil will paint this picture that is false. It never satisfies, but it's just like throwing that carrot out there, and you lunge for it, and he says, almost got it. The next thing will do it. Until finally you get older, and then he pulls back the cover and says, see, wait till you get older. Then he pulls the cover back and says, nothing, man. You've tried most of it. It won't do it. Blow your brains out. Because he wants to go ahead and get you to hell as quick as he can. Folks, I'm just telling you the truth. But Ross, I know I'm not saved, but you mean I'm expending all my effort for nothing? Yes. As far as eternity, yes. And eternity is all that matters because this life ends. So, I'm just being honest. This life ends. What are you living for?
Well, you know, a heritage that will go on after I'm gone.
They'll revise it. Don't worry. What do you want, a street named after you? They'll change it. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm telling you the truth. What do you want? You want a city named after you? They'll change that too. The statues come down, bud. The statues come down. They change. History gets changed. The books get changed. The monuments turn over. They change them. They put something else up. They change the street names. What do you want?
Well, I'm making a difference.
What, man? Companies come and go. Who remembers them? Get out of here. Now, I got mills back home in my hometown. Nobody remembers anything about them. And there were places there before that. Come on, it don't last. What are you living for? What are you living for? What are you living for? Man, preacher, if you're trying to inspire, you ain't inspiring me, man. That's enough depressed to make me want to end my life. Yeah, if you've bought the lie of evolution, no kidding. Tell me, why knock yourself out if you just die anyway? For what? Oh, but listen. You ain't pawn scum, man. You're not an accident that happened. You are a product of the special creative power of God. And He loves you enough to give Himself for you. And He wants you to be reconciled to Him so you can have purpose in your life and lay up treasure in heaven. So that you labor, so your life won't be spent in vain. So your labor won't be in vain. The Bible says that we're going to be steadfast, unmovable, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I'm not shooting you a line. If you're laboring outside of the Lord, Lord, help you, it's in vain. I mean, you'll live, and most people, they're not living, they're just existing, they're not happy. What a blessing, man. What a blessing to know the Creator personally, have a relationship with Him, and know that you're just not a stick floating on the water. You got direction and guidance in your life and purpose to bring pleasure to Him. See, it ain't about me, it's about Him. When I please Him, I find fulfillment. And you know what He lets me do? He lets me have relationships, a family, brethren. You know what I'm saying? He lets me have those, Him first. Him first. And I realize I'm not spinning my wheels. Eternity. 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 Well, look here. That temple, there was stone, cedar, and gold. That stone pictures the Lord Jesus as the stone which the builders rejected. That cedar wood, I believe, His body and blood. The gold, His second coming, His King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe those stones also picture He's the foundation, the cornerstone. We're those other stones that fit in relation to Him. Hid, like a cedar hid. We're hid in Christ if we're saved. And awaiting that glorified new body someday. But here's the question. Are you in Jesus? Do you fit in? Do you fit in? Listen. Have you established a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you got rightly oriented with Him so that you fit in with all the other saints? Listen, if you don't fit in with the saints here, you won't make it there. You wouldn't fit in up there if you don't fit in down here. It's getting rightly oriented with Christ. Everything fits in relation to the cornerstone. Once that's established, your life is hid with Christ and God. You've got purpose and a glorified body waiting on you. Do you fit in? I don't know. But I pray you'd be willing to answer that question. Do you fit in? Have you established a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Or are you trying to make yourself fit in? Hammering on yourself, cutting on yourself, trying to learn the right way to say, the right way to do, trying to make yourself fit in. Because you don't fit in. Now what about it? If you don't, go out of the field. Go out of the field. Go out of the field. And let God do it. Go out of the cross. And let God do a completed work on you through Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, let's be faithful to get that work done in the field like we ought. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Precious Father, these are serious principles. Serious matters. Lord, I pray that I've not done any injustice to your word and the principles contained therein tonight. I pray you'd work around my failings. And Father, just bless your word and speak, Father, to hearts according to the individual needs that are here or anyone listening on tape. Father, this we pray and this I ask, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want your heads bowed just a minute, your eyes closed. I'm going to have Ellie play. I just want to give you an opportunity here to meditate on what we've looked at. Need to talk to the Lord? Just give you some time to do it. Do you fit in? Oh, don't get me wrong. I understand that as far as personality, I understand that we all, anytime we maybe come to a new place or get around people, I understand the thing about personality and, you know, that's a normal thing. But you know what I'm talking about. Do you fit in with believers? Or is it just all foreign and strange to you? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The full of His wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim. The light of His glory and grace. Do you fit in? You can't fit in until you get rightly established in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything fits in reference to that foundation stone, and that's Jesus. You get right with Him and you'll fit in with all the saints all over the world from every age. You'll fit in heaven. But are you trying to make yourself fit? You're either a product of self-effort or God's completed work on you. You're either a product of God's work in your life, God's salvation, God's work, or your own self-effort. And if it's you, you'll never fit in. I want to give you opportunity if the Lord spoke to you about some matter tonight that you do business with Him. That song says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." Have you ever looked to Jesus? Have you ever looked to Him for salvation? If you haven't, I pray tonight you'd look to Jesus and be saved. Whether here or listening on tape, I won't belabor it long, but listen, if you've never looked to Jesus, look to Him tonight. I feel the song says, "Look and live." Those folks in the camp of Israel, when that serpent of brass was hung up, they just had to look. They just had to look. They couldn't look at their bite. They couldn't look at Moses. They couldn't look. They had to look to that serpent on the pole. It's not looking to the preacher. It's not looking to church. It's looking to Christ. Christ and Him alone. Amen, brother. Lord bless you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate your attention. Folks, listen. I pray that you take... Folks, listen. Those are some principles that are pretty important. That verse in Proverbs just lays it out, man. Just lays it out. And when you look at it with the temple, well, I pray we'd be honest with ourselves and not just cast it aside. If we've not let a work be done on our lives, I pray we would do so. If we have, I pray we'd be willing to go out to the field and help and let God use us in His hand to get people to fit out there so they fit when they come in.